Well, hey, I think Clint pretty much preached it. We're done. What did you guys think? Good job. All right. Hey, good morning. Great to be with you today. Hey, if we haven't had a chance to meet, I'm Mike. Hello. And I just want to say hey to everybody that's joining us online today. Thank you for connecting with us today. Adam and his family on vacation. They're on vacation this week. You just be praying for them that they can enjoy some time away, refreshment. I just told, hey, Adam, here's my motto for vacation. Go do something fun, eat something bad for you. So, hey, if you can do those two things, I think we're okay. Yesterday, July the 1st, marked the one-year anniversary of Adam and his family being here with us and being part of our family. So 1 year, and that means Adam has been our pastor for 1 year. I think it's gone pretty good. You agree? You good? It's been good. Absolutely. Well, this morning we're going to press on in our Proverbs series. We're going to look at Proverbs 3, 1-8. So you can go ahead and grab that in your Bible or pull it up on your phone, whatever works best for you. Hey, a few weeks ago, I went to Silver Dollar City. Now, I hadn't been to Silver Dollar City for quite a while, probably been 5 years since I've been to Silver Dollar City. Went with my wife and her mom and dad. And what I'm learning about myself is, hey, I'm not 20 anymore, okay? I'm learning these things. And what's even more disturbing to me is that I'm beginning to like shows, okay? And going to craft shops. This is not how it was for me just a few years ago, but I don't know. Things are changing. So we're at Silver Dollar City. We did go to some shows. We walked through some craft shops. We got something to eat. And in the afternoon, my son, Cole, who is 20, and his fiance, Megan, joined us. And now they're going to get married in about 2 weeks, right? So you can be praying for those guys. But they joined us in the afternoon. And he's like, hey, let's go ride some rides. And because you're wanting to be cool, you go, hey, sounds good, right? And so we're going to ride some rides. What ride would you like to ride? And he goes, let's ride the Wildfire. Great. Haven't been to Silver Dollar City in a long time. I don't know what the Wildfire even is. We're beginning to go that way. We're in line for the Wildfire. And I said, so, hey, what does this thing do? And he's like, oh, you know, a couple big hill drops. I think there's a corkscrew. You go upside down a couple times. I'm like, all right, it's going to be awesome. So we're on the Wildfire. We're in the car. We go. We do the ride. We're having the ride. We're done with the ride. And we get out, and I'm kind of looking around. Okay, on the outside. I haven't lost an arm. Haven't lost a leg. Things are good. On the inside, though, it's kind of like all over the place on the inside. And I'm trying to get out of the car, and I'm kind of wobbling around a little bit. And, of course, he's going to say, how'd you like it? Man, it was good. It was great. I loved it a lot, right? It was good. Hey, I'm just telling you, I'm at a point now where I think, hey, are roller coasters and carnival rides really the wise thing to do? I don't know if that's true, but here's what I do know, and I've learned this from past experiences with carnival rides and such like that. No point in getting an order of fried pickles and eating them right before you go on a carnival ride or the roller coaster. So you can just take that one to heart. That's just me trying to help. Now, how very loosely now we're going to transition to Proverbs 3. Okay, well, we see a dad who loves his son very much, and he very much wants to help his son. He wants to help to navigate the twists and turns of life. He wants to help his son make wise decisions and live life well. And we see that in a bigger way, that God is telling us through Proverbs that he loves us, and he's communicating to us that he wants us to make wise decisions and to live life well and to make good choices. You know, wisdom is important to all of us. All of us ask questions all the time. Hey, what should I do? Where should I go? You know, should I really get on the Wildfire? These are the important questions of life. But what we're seeing here in Proverbs, over the last several weeks that we've been in Proverbs, we're learning that there are two paths in life. There is God's way, and there is the world's way. And that kind of verbiage makes sense to us because we know that paths have a destination. We know that choices have a consequence or an outcome. But good news, God has given us wisdom, and we've learned that wisdom is valuable, and wisdom is available. Now, Proverbs, they are descriptions of how life will generally turn out for those folks who heed the principles of life that God's laying out, his wise principles. They learn to understand them, learn to follow them, and they generally lead to good outcomes, but they're not a guarantee. They're not a guarantee that we won't have hardship. You know, many of us, I would probably say most of us, and we're following God close and following God hard, but we've still encountered difficult times. We've still encountered tragedy. We've had financial setbacks. But the Proverbs, what they do for us is they're saying, hey, there's no guarantee you won't have this, but we're going to help you make wise decisions so you don't walk into those kind of things. It's trying to not lead us toward those things, but lead us from those things. They want to lead us to not trade in truth for a lie. We don't want to trade hope for hopelessness. We don't want to trade life for death. One of the main points I want us to walk away with today is wholehearted devotion to the Lord and his wise principles will lead us to a life of blessing. And a lot of times the big word there that we got to wrap ourselves around is the wholehearted part. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord and his wise principles will lead us to blessing. And, you know, God designed life. God created us. We're made in his image. He knows how life works best. We can trust him. He is leading the way. See, turning our lives to the Lord, we want to know him more. We want to love him more. We want to obey his word. And in doing all those things, we can live with godly confidence and in his blessing. You know, I began to appreciate godly confidence probably more than ever. I feel like in our life right now, the sand is continually shifting. People have different opinions from week to week to week. Perspectives change from month to month to month. But what we have with God is a solid foundation for life. We can have confidence in how God is leading us. When we experience a life that, how do we experience this life that God intends for us? How do we experience the life that God desires for us? Well, that's where we get to Proverbs chapter 3 today. So if you want to follow along, Proverbs 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. You know, as you're hearing those words today, you go, hey, something about that sounds kind of familiar. I feel like I've heard something like that before. Well, if we go to Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, now you don't have to turn there, but if you want to or make a note, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today will be on your heart. You'll teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." See, today God wants us to take his wisdom to heart. He wants us to take his wisdom to heart. The father in this proverb is desperately wanting, and God wants us to not forget. In Deuteronomy 6 and Proverbs 3, we hear words and phrases like hear and teach and write and bind and on your heart and do not forget. This dad is encouraging his son, this young man, and we are being encouraged by God through his word that we need to internalize these words into our heart, into our life. You know, these commandments, putting them in our heart is not just memorizing, even though that's fantastic. Maybe you've had a great habit over the years of memorizing scriptures. Great. You should keep doing that. If you've not done that, now is a great day to begin to do that. Memorizing scripture is fantastic, but it needs to go not just here, but it has to become here. It has to shake itself out in our words, in our actions, in our attitudes, and our motives. It needs to become essential to our life and impacting all the areas. You know, this idea of heart. It's the center of one's whole being. God wants us to be in the innermost part of these thoughts and principles and wisdom. And they're going to impact our knowing and our feeling and the totality of our life. These principles he wants written on our heart. He doesn't want us to forget. He is emphasizing that. You know, in the last 4 or 5 years, all of my kids have purchased their own vehicle. And in doing so, they've entered into the world of car maintenance. Isn't that one of our favorite things, car maintenance? It's fantastic. So they've entered into that, and I don't really do this that much anymore, but from, you know, definitely in the beginning, I'm like, hey, just make sure you check and change your oil. Check and change your oil. Because, you know, regularly doing that is going to position us, to have long life for our engine. If we check and change it, we're positioning ourselves. We're not guaranteeing, but we're going to have long life for our engine. And if you don't do it, if you don't check and change your oil, well, it's not going to go awesome. Engine failure. And you're like, hey, Mike, how do you know that? Well, I've never let my truck engine run dry, but I have my lawnmower, okay? And it doesn't go fantastic. It's kind of a joke around our house. I'm sorry, okay? Remembering, embracing, living out God's wisdom, it is important to experiencing the benefits that God has for us. What would one of those benefits be? Well, you get to verse 2, and you're seeing things like length of days, years of life, peace. You know, following God's principles can lead to, you know, many days. But it's also talking about those days being enjoyable and worthwhile. It's talking about our well-being, our health, our relationship to other people, really all aspects of our life, spiritually, physically, relationally, emotionally. And to not follow God's principles is going to impact us, of course, the other way. It's going to impact our relationship with Him. To not follow God's principles is going to impact our relationship with others. And it's going to impact how we feel and think. You know, length of days, years of life is just not quantitative, but it's qualitative. Well-being, enjoying, a life worthwhile. You know, if we let sin control our lives, that's living opposite of God's plan, we will experience areas of brokenness in our life. We will. And where that shakes out most often is brokenness in relationships. Because sin always has a ripple effect. It always impacts people other than you. So you can have things going on in your life, in your heart. Maybe nobody knows about those specific things, but it has a ripple effect, and all of a sudden it impacts your family. It impacts your friends. It impacts your neighbors. It impacts the community. Sin never just impacts you. Don't let sin control your life. But we want to take God's wisdom to heart. We want to be in close relationship with Him. We want to know Him. We want to follow how He says life works. Because it's going to lead to our well-being. It's going to lead us to health. God really does want the best for us. Many times we can question that. But God is good, and He loves us, and He wants to lead us well. And in taking God's wisdom to heart, he also wants us to prioritize steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love and faithfulness. And this impacts, again, kind of our relationships. You know, steadfast love would be a loyal, merciful kindness. We are committed to the well-being of the other person. But also, faithfulness is that we have a firm, constant commitment to the truth. So we want to be in a truth relationship. We want to be merciful and kind and loving to those folks that we interact with. And God, again, this is priority enough that he also says this needs to be written on the tablets of our heart as a reminder of the place that it should have in our life. See, this is character stuff. This is character stuff. In our actions and our words and our motive, this character becomes on display. Steadfast love and faithfulness. And as a result of doing that, because again, there's benefits to following God's wisdom, we're going to have favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And we're told that in verse 4. Being in good relationship with God, following his plan, following his wisdom, helps us to relate to him and the others around us. And this is important. So much of life is relationships, and God wants to lead us well. But not only do we need to take God's word to heart, write it on the tablet of our heart, but we should trust God and let him lead the way in how we live our life, how we make decisions, how we make choices. You know, a longtime pastor, may be familiar with his name, Adrian Rogers. He died several years ago. But Adrian was just a pro at coming up with these little catchy phrases. He did that all the time. I think any message he ever had was all these little cliche things. But he would say, hey, in light of trust God, trust the Lord with your heart, he said, let God choose the way. Let God confirm the way. Let God control the way. And let God clear the way. That was pretty good words. Adrian Rogers. You know, our confidence for navigating life is in the Lord and his principles. God wants us very much to lean in to him and his love and trust him. We prayerfully seek out the truth and we search the scriptures for what he has to say about life. You know, that stuff seems so basic, but I'm just telling you, being in communication with God through prayer, being constantly in his word to search out his truth, those will always be basic building blocks of following the Lord. We're never going to get away from those things. Those are things that ought to be a habit of our life. You know, the call to trust God is with all of your heart, he's looking for a total commitment. Remember the first point we had? Wholehearted devotion. He's looking for, with all of our heart, a total commitment. You know, I heard a guy say one time, trust is putting your whole weight, all of yourself, in the hands of something or somebody. Now, today, I am putting my whole weight on this stool, all of me. And let's be honest, that's asking a lot of this stool. My whole weight is on this stool. But you know what? I feel pretty confident. I think I'm going to make it through sitting on this stool. I can rest easy. That's how it is with God. We put our full weight in his hands, all of us. And in doing that, we have a confidence that we can trust him and we can rest easy. We can have a godly confidence as we lead our life. We can have trust. God is calling us to a wholehearted trust in him, devotion to him and his principles, and not in our own abilities. You know, we got a lot of smart people in this room. We got a lot of talented people in this room. But we can't rely totally on those things in our life. And sometimes we go, wait, I hope it all works out. I hope it all works out. We don't want to follow the world's approach to navigating life, but we want to follow God's approach to navigating life. And when we're talking about trust with God, I guess we're just kind of implying that he is trustworthy. You know, page after page, person after person, circumstance after circumstance, scenario after scenario, for years and years and years and years, God has demonstrated himself trustworthy. we can put our whole weight in his hands and we can rest easy. We can have a calmness of heart. Not saying it's easy or it's not difficult or there won't be tough times, but we can have a godly confidence that he's going to lead us well. We're going to give him the reins. We're going to give him the reins of our life because he knows what's good for us better than we do. We're going to acknowledge him in all of our ways. We're going to acknowledge him in all of our ways, in every aspect of our life. Now, we're not talking about, and people do this all the time, right? We kind of give God a little wink. We kind of give God a little nod. We kind of give him just a little word. It's not what he's talking about here. It's talking about knowing him. It's talking about loving him. It's talking about a deep desire to follow his plans for our life. Again, we're talking an all-in type deal. A quote, a guy that I read this week, he had this to say. He said, look at your values and your priorities. What is important to you? In what areas have you not acknowledged God? What are his principles and desires for that area? In many areas of your life, you may already acknowledge God, but it is in the areas where you restrict or ignore his influence that will cause you grief. Many of us can look back over our life and we go, yeah, you know what? That's pretty true. That's pretty true. The areas that we try to ignore or deny or not yield to God's direction in our life, that's the area that we're going to have some trouble. See, God doesn't want us coming to crucial crossroads of our life, and all we've got to rely on is our own understanding. He loves us more than that. You know, my kids have kind of learned that I know nothing about directions, and I am wrong a lot. You don't want me to help you get from A to B. I'll just confess, I use the GPS to get around Springfield. I'm sorry, okay? And I've been here quite a while. I am terrible with directions and navigation. My wife is fantastic at that. She's the one who gets us where we need to go. And the deal is, sometimes I can say, hey, I think let's go down this road, and I can be confident, man. I can be certain that we're going the right way and we're on the right road, and we're not, okay? Man, I can be certain about that. Man, isn't it so easy to deceive ourselves? Isn't it so easy to be deceived by other people? You know, the culture, well, they said this was the right thing to do. You know, the guy on the news, he said this was the right thing to do. The guy at the diner in the convenience mart, they said this was the right thing to do. Where can we really find trustworthy guidance? You know, I think God's kind of setting up a contrast here. You know, leaning on our own understanding. Sometimes we get to these choices in life, or again, kind of like I do with driving. Man, we can really think we're right. Hey, I can really want to do this. This fits my thought pattern. This fits my scenario. This fits what I kind of want to do. But it's not what God says we should do in those kind of circumstances. And see, are we going to go God's way, or are we going to go the world's way? God is, you know, illustrating the choice that many times lays in front of us. He doesn't want us to be at these kind of crossroads and have all we got is our own understanding, because that won't go well. And we're not talking about a blind trust. You know, God give us, we have critical thinking abilities, we have reasoning and all those kind of things, but we can have a confident assurance that God knows how things ought to go. He created life. He knows how life works best. He designed how it goes. God, we can trust him, and he wants us to be willing to stake the whole farm on it. He does. Why? Because he loves us. God, you got a good dad in Proverbs 3 trying to help his son navigate life. God wants us to navigate life well. And as a result of trusting him to lead the way, he says that he'll make our paths straight. Not describing a smooth path, not describing an easy path free of obstacles or hardship. That's not what's happening. But he's going to lead us in a life that is righteous, that is morally straight and worthwhile. Compared to our overall culture, which many times leads us on a crooked path, on a perverse path. God wants to protect us from that. When we're trusting God wholeheartedly, following his wise principles, we can have confidence that he'll be with us and he'll provide us strength through not only the ups, but the downs of life, because he's that kind of God. You know, in Proverbs 3, 1-8, we've seen now that we should take God's wisdom to heart. It needs to be the center point of our life. We should trust God and his wisdom to lead the way. And then finally, we can turn and humbly embrace God's wisdom. Let's look at verses 7 and 8 of Proverbs 3. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You know, God here is warning us about self-assurance. And that's really just the opposite of trusting in the Lord. Again, we've referred to this. We can think this, even though we don't have the words coming out of our mouth, but we can kind of live it out like this. Hey, God, I really don't need your help. I don't really need your input in this area. I don't really need your direction or instruction. I really don't need to follow your way. We don't say that, but we live that many times. Believing that we in of ourselves can determine what is right and wrong, I'm just convinced what a heavy load that is. To be the determiner of right and wrong apart from God and his wisdom. What we need to do is humbly turn and embrace God's wisdom. What he says to do is fear the Lord and turn from evil. Another quote I got from a guy this week, it says, here's how he would package it up. Here are the priorities God wants at the top of our list in terms of urgency. Number one, fear the Lord. Number two, turn away from evil. You know, last week, Adam kind of talked us through fear the Lord. He says, you know, it's loving the Lord, it's pursuing the Lord, it's worshiping the Lord, it's striving to follow his ways, build our lives around his plans. We are in hot pursuit of the Lord, living in a reverent and respectful awe of him and his holiness. And we then hate evil and we run from it. We see in Proverbs 9, verse 6, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God wants us to orient our life. He wants us to center our life, our whole life, every aspect of our life toward him. And this requires, every time, humility to yield to his way, the best way, the best way. And he says he's going to provide healing and refreshment in verse 8. You know, living for God, his wise principles, many times leads us to physical health. And again, we learned earlier that, you know, Proverbs sometimes, the way they lead us, the principles they give us, keep us from going down particular paths that can lead to our detriment. See, God wants to provide healing and refreshment. And a lot of times, again, physical health, but it can impact us spiritually and emotionally and relationally, and we can find refreshment in those times. You know, over these last number of weeks, we've been in Proverbs, and we'll be in Proverbs for still quite a while. But you know, even so far through what God has told us through the Proverbs, hey, what should we do? What should we do? And you know what? It begins with being in relationship with God. You know, today you may be in the room and man, you just really have not turned your life to the Lord. You're trying to navigate the Lord, trying to navigate life by yourself, your own understanding. And you know what? Maybe you've received some success. But I'm just telling you, ultimately, your well-being, your wise direction, ultimately, life is found in the Lord, and that's just wisdom. Maybe today you want to begin your relationship with the Lord, because that's where it starts. Maybe today you need to spend some time with God. I mean, really, spend time with God, talking with him, communicating with him, getting to know him, learning to love him more and more, be in his word. Again, these things sound so basic, but isn't it easy? true confessions. Sometimes to let a couple days go by, man, it can end up being a couple weeks go by, and we're not spending time with the Lord like we know we want to, and we could. I think to myself, how am I going to best know what he wants for my life? How am I going to best know who he is? How am I going to best know his wise principles if I don't spend time with him, talking with him, learning about him, reading in his word? This is how I'm going to know about the principles and the truth of how to lead my life well. Without knowing him and seeking him, we're going to be left to be wise in our own eyes. And that doesn't work out. Today, he's telling us, don't forget. Write my teachings on your heart. They need to be the center point of your life. Let your character reflect steadfast love and faithfulness. Trust him with our whole weight, all of us. He's going to prove faithful. And we can live confidently in the way that he leads us. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Well-being. You know, this proverb, you know, you got a dad talking to his son. Great. You know, I thought about, you know, my dad. You know, I was fortunate to have a pretty good dad. My dad was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. My dad had flaws. He had things he struggled with, like all of us do. My dad wasn't athletic, unless you want to include horseshoes or something like that. If you do that, he was probably a pro. My dad worked hard. He provided for our family. We had enough. He modeled what it was to love his family and to have sacrifice and commitment. You know, my dad did many things very, very well. You know, probably I was 24 when the light started going on that, you know what, I think my mom and dad, because I really need to package those together, they both were this way, my mom and dad knows a whole bunch more about life than I ever gave them credit for. And, you know, my early 20s, I didn't always make the right choices, right? On your own understanding, God's way, the world's way, all that kind of stuff. And so somewhere in there, 24, the light kind of came on. And like, hey, I think my dad knows more about some of this stuff than I do. And it was a chance to really lean in to his guidance in my life. I'm telling you, that's what God's trying to say right now. Is it time for the light to turn on? And you've been trying to lead your life on your own, your own understanding, and you're not acknowledging him in all your ways? And he just says, hey, man, I love you. I created this world. I know how life works. I want to help you navigate life successfully and wisely. Turn to me. Turn to me. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. God wants that for us. Hey, we're going to pray. If you want to go ahead and bow your head today, the band's going to come. We're going to prepare a time for response. You know, God's pretty good. I hope you feel that God is good, because he is. He is patient and kind. I know if you look back over your life, you're going to see that God has shown you a bunch of mercy. And today he just says, hey, I want you to trust me. Put your whole weight in my hands. You got areas in your life that you're acknowledging me, but there's ones that aren't. And man, I love you too much. I want you to yield those to me. I want you to turn those to me. Put me in the center of your life. God, help us with that. Father, be with us today as your Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. God, leading us. God, we want to follow you well. We're weak in our humanity. But God, help the desire of our heart is to follow hard after you, to give it all over. And God, we know we can trust you. You're good. And God, you're going to discipline us sometime, but you know what? That's what good dads do. You're going to lead us successfully because you want our best. So God, help us to lean in to you. Lean into your love. Lean into your guidance. Lean into your holiness. Lean into your awe. And God, we can have a calmness of heart. We can have a confidence. So Lord, help us to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.